Sure. I'm Chris Schweidler. I'm with the Advancement Project, Healthy City, and we're based in Los Angeles and in D.C.
Hi, I'm Diana, and I'm here from Bakersfield, and I'm in the Statewide Youth Board on Obesity Prevention Program.
Hi, my name's Alex, and I'm with CROPP, which is C-C-R-O-P-P, which is the Central California Regional Obesity Prevention Program.
Long acronym. And they're both here with the Youth Caucus, and they have a lot of activities today, so they're actually going to slip out. So we're not going to take too many questions at the end, but we'll leave you with some contact information in case you want to get in touch. And today our presentation is about Youth Changing Communities Video Voice Mapping. It's much more about access to physical activity opportunities. So we're going to talk a little bit about what is video voice mapping, both in terms of what is video voice, but then talking about how we've sort of incorporated the mapping component into it, and then talk about sort of the activity or the video voice mapping applied to obesity prevention and physical activity promotion and increasing access to physical activity opportunities. We were going to show you some videos, and unfortunately we can't because there is no internet access in this room. But instead, we'll just talk to you a little bit about that, and if you're interested, we can tell you where you can find it. And then finally, we'll talk about some of the value and the importance of engaging youth in the project. So, what is video voice mapping?
What is video voice mapping? Video voice mapping is once you go out in your community, let's say you find an empty parking lot. You want to do something in that empty parking lot. Let's say it has no sidewalk, it has no bike lanes. You would like to do something with it. You go out with a couple of people and you say, what do we need? What's going on here? What can we do about it? And where you're at? And you answer those four questions and you'll come up with a video. It's really easy. It doesn't have to be long. And you just talk about, let's say you want a recreation center. That's what we're trying to do too. You just say how would it work, and it's really easy to do. It's like not that hard. Alex.
Video voice mapping is a better way to get the word out because a photo says a lot of words, but a video can express the words which our people are trying to give out and trying to get help instead of just like writing a letter which people only glance at, but videos, it catches the eye. Something like that.
So in terms of the mapping component, this was a collaboration with a lot of different folks. I don't know how many folks here are from California. Okay, so this whole project was in California, and healthycity.org is a website that's based in California. The Advancement Project has a program called Healthy City, which is a research and GIS kind of branch of the Advancement Project. This website has a lot of INR information and referral to services using the 211 data throughout the U.S. It's available, but we use it here in California, or there in California. We also have an extensive amount of data and have been working the last couple of years to make all of that available. It's all publicly available. It's all free of charge. And then kind of expand what the website does to include user-generated content. And here, this includes media, videos, photographs, sound recordings, et cetera. So for healthycity.org, folks can go there to find resources and partners. We actually was initially kind of built as an information referral website to analyze and understand community issues, and we've worked really hard in recent years to develop curricula to help community members actually do that analysis as much as possible themselves, relying a little bit less on intermediaries, but putting a lot of that data back into the community, and then starting to help legitimate community-based knowledge, collect that information, help analyze it alongside of other work. A part of that has been, for us, participatory mapping. When we go into communities and work with communities based on the interests or the issues that are already identified by that community, they also develop the data collection tools with us, and we try to incorporate that all. First, it was initially on paper maps, addressing sort of basic issues from access to education to health disparities and so forth, to kind of building the web-based technology to make it possible to kind of disseminate, collect it, and disseminate it based on web-based work. So for example, a project that we did using our quote-unquote live mapping technology, which is live data collection that you can do over time, we asked residents where they were able to access fresh food or food in general and physical activity opportunities and to rate those opportunities. And the issue was, you know, not only where could they go, where they had access, but what barriers there might be to access and what solutions they might propose to resolve those issues. And so our approach was to use community-engaged mapping, ask residents to go and in small focus groups with computers and facilitators that were from community-based groups, collect that information, and all of that was kind of built into a number of different policy proposals for a local East Los Angeles community. The other value is that collecting that data allows you to look at it alongside of a lot of other data, which has been really a useful tool for communities to advocate for change on their own behalf. So in this case, this live mapping event was asking a number of parents and youth where they felt unsafe in a particular neighborhood, and that's all of the red little squares. And then you can overlay that data with other data that's on the system. So you'll see there's small apples here, which actually represent schools. Thanks, dude. And then the gradient that you'll see in the background is the youth population. So putting that together on a map shows, you know, very effectively and very readily for people to understand when kind of advocating for improvement in their communities that some of the places that people feel, the students feel most unsafe is right around their schools. And that's also where there is really high youth population. So over time, we've kind of been trying to, as I said, sort of increase the amount of information that we can gather from the community and help them put it into the website and then reflect it back, use it to kind of communicate. And in this case, for the video voice mapping project that Alex and Diana were both involved in, this park that you can't see here if I was sort of zoomed out on my slide includes a number of different videos that were generated about that particular place. So not only are you able to hear that kind of story, you can attach it to a particular location. And another feature on the website allows you to take and create an entire story. So this story was created by their project, where they both frame the issue, discuss the issue, and then in a tray here can collect a number of different types of media, both video, photo, but also maps, other kinds of data that they might want to present when they're sort of discussing their issue. So we were going to talk a little bit about how and why it's been used for
obesity. So basically, we use the video voice mapping for obesity because we want to show how many parks and recreational centers there are with playgrounds or activities for kids to do for they can be physically active. And we want to take videos and show people that there really isn't that many. That's why we have to help out the community and tell kids it's safe to go out and play and be physically fit, which at some parks you really can't because there's like a lot of gangs and a bunch of stuff going on there that kids and their parents are just too scared to go. Or it's just like too far from their house and they need somewhere like closer.
At a park that we worked out a lot was there, it was like a really bad park. There was the playground, it had missing parts. The water fountains didn't work. There was no light at night. The light bulbs were all broken. It was all graffitied up. There was condoms on the floor. There was needles everywhere. Like, it was like a really bad park. And we got together. We took pictures of it. We sent it to Kaiser Permanente, and they helped us build a new playground. We got new lights. We got a police department. We got the lights. We got new water fountains, new benches. And, like, they helped us out, and we, with our own hands, we built a sidewalk that we thought we needed there at the park. And with, like, all the help we got, it's better now. Now there's kids wanting to go to the park. Before, you wouldn't see no one at the park. And now you go at the middle of the day, you go in the night, you see kids playing soccer, basketball. It's like a good park now, like, from how it was before to now.
So at this point, we were going to show you a short video, two short videos, one about the Greens and 7-Eleven, but maybe we just talk about them instead.
The Greens is in front of a middle school, right?
It's a middle school?
It's in front of a middle school. The schools that we go to, they don't let you go after school and play in the back, in the fields, like, to like play soccer. So what the boys did, they called it the Greens, and there was trash everywhere, there was cans, it was a mess, there was carts, and what they wanted to play soccer, so they got all the trash, they sticked it in the carts, and they used the carts as the poles for like, let's say, for they could like kick the ball and say that that's where they go. And they moved all the graffiti cans to the side and they play soccer there. And like, the grass was okay, so they called it the greens. But now, after a while, it's all dead and they can't play there no more.
The 7-Eleven lot is basically a lot to the right of the 7-Eleven. It is pretty big, and I think we could like fit a park in there. But there's no sidewalk, and it's a really busy street. So there's no sidewalk. So when people have, there's houses on the other side of the lot, and then there's a 7-Eleven. So people with strollers have to be on the street when they're pushing their strollers, and the cars are coming, 25 miles an hour, so they can get hit. And they don't want to go on top of the where there's no concrete at, because it's full of glass, rocks, and some other stuff we don't even know that's there. And last time when we were filming there, a person was walking back because she had to record us talking, walking forward. She tripped, and I think she got glass in her foot or something. And then while we were recording, there was a perfect example of a dad, a mom, and they were strolling with the carriage. They were walking on the street, and they almost got hit by a car when the car was going like really quick. And in the video, if we could have showed it, you could have heard the cars coming. You could have heard the stroller like next to the cars and everything. So right now, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get help from people to change that, to at least make a sidewalk or put a bike lane next to it for carriages can go by it, which I think is cheaper. So yeah, that's what we're trying to do right now, but with video voice mapping.
So next, we just want to talk to you a little bit about the value and the importance of engaging youth and the experience for youth of being involved in the project, projects like this.
I'll talk about the experience.
We have a lot of experience. We have been up to Oakland. We've been up to Sacramento to talk to legislators. We have been to Fresno and more places that I can't remember. But we talked to adults, and yeah, mostly adults. We have gone to one or two with youth, but with adults, we show them how to work the video camera. It's a flip video where like it's just three buttons. You guys could learn it. We go around from where we are. We go around and we just like practice for they could go back and they could do it. We actually got an award. It's five of us, but the other people couldn't come. We got an award for Cybomb, which is the organization we're in. What else have we done?
Usually when kids talk, adults think we're immature and like we don't know what we're talking about, but right here with video voice mapping, we're trying to set out a word saying we can change and we can fix communities, just like the one we did. And okay. Our motto for when we videotape and teach adults how to do it is it's so easy, even adults can do it. So it's really simple. Like she said, it's just three buttons and a volume. So you just press play, you walk, videotape, talk loud, be spontaneous because you don't want to be boring when you're on the video, 5-minute video, and you're just talking. Keep going like I'm doing right now because I don't know what to say or something. So yeah, that's really what all it is. It's something to have fun on and change the community. So our experience is we really had fun. We really changed, so we feel good about it. We like going up to states, teaching other people how to do it. We like changing the communities in other states, knowing that we helped out people and everything. So yeah, it was really a nice experience for us to move from different places.
So if you'd like to find out more information, we're going to give you a slide on how to reach you or how to reach us. and I think, you know, what we really kind of want to talk about is how it is a great opportunity for youth leadership, but it's also clearly an opportunity to create a sort of model for disseminating voice and engagement and so forth, for being able to reframe issues, not just about behavior change, but also about access, for education, for policy advocacy, and program development. And so that's it. Thank you. Any questions?
We have a few minutes for some questions, and then actually to congratulate President Fry, the younger speakers at the convention here today.
We're only 14.
Huh? Video
you're
using?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're using the iFlip. It's a flip video. Yeah.
It's really easy. It has even a connection.
It even has the USB cord.
Any age. Well, we have worked with middle school kids. I think they're 12, 10. Doesn't really matter the age because, like we said, the flip video is really easy to use. Anybody could really use it. Thank you.